This morning I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be focusing specifically on verse 25, but I'll begin reading with verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin reading with verse 17, but before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of hearts. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, as we've been working our way through this letter to the Ephesians, up to this point, Paul has been covering all of the truths of salvation, who Christ is and what he has done for us, all of the amazing blessings that are ours in Christ. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, we saw a transition, a switch from talking about what God has accomplished in saving us to how we are called to live in light of that salvation. What does this salvation mean for us in our day-to-day lives, as we strive to live as children of God? One commentator explained it like this. He says, the movement of thought is from the lofty heights of learning Christ and the new creation to the nitty-gritty of Christian behavior, telling the truth, controlling our anger, honesty at work, kindness of speech, forgiveness, love, and sexual control. Here Paul is laying out the nitty-gritty details of what it looks like to live the Christian life, to live a life worthy of our calling, which we saw earlier, what it means to walk in love as Christ loved us. That's why I read a little bit further into chapter 5, because that walking in love, chapter 5, verse 2, is the theme for everything that Paul is telling us in this section of Scripture. Walking in love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And what does that look like? Well, this morning we see that that looks like putting away falsehood and speaking the truth in love. This entire section, well, verse 17 through 5, verse 2, Paul is explaining what should characterize our lives as believers. And as he is describing that, as he's describing what it means to be a Christian and to live as a Christian, he ends up covering the second table of the law, which are commandments 5 through 10. All the commandments covering how we should love our neighbor. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at our passage that we'll be looking at, verse 25. Do not use falsehood, but speak the truth. That's the ninth commandment. Don't give false testimony. Right after that comes, in your anger, do not sin. That's the sixth commandment, because the root of murder is uncontrolled anger. Let the thief no longer steal. That's the eighth commandment. Sexual immorality not even named among you. That's the seventh commandment at the beginning of chapter 5. No greedy person will inherit the kingdom. That's the 10th commandment. You shall not covet. And then when you look over at chapter 6, it's children, obey your parents. The 5th commandment, honor your father and mother. And so Paul is using the commandments to explain how we should live out our salvation that is ours in Christ. And this morning, the theme of our message is, since we are members one of another, since we are members of the body of Christ, we put away falsehood. And we speak the truth. Our walk in love, as Christ loved us, is expressed in the words that we say. Now, in each of these commands, we're going to see that Paul does three things. First, he tells us the negative. The do not do this. Do not lie is what he's telling us in our passage. Second, he tells us positively what you should do. Tell the truth. Speak the truth. And then the third thing that Paul does is tell us and explain to us the motivation why. Because you are the body of Christ. And those will be our three points this morning as we look at this passage. Our first point is, therefore, having put away falsehood. Basically, do not lie. That's the first thing to put off, is the falsehood and the lying. Now, as we look at verse 25 together, it begins with the word therefore. Now, whenever we see the word therefore in Scripture, we need to ask a very important question. And that question is this: what is it there for? Because therefore is summarizing everything that Paul has taught us right before this. And now he's bringing home that practical application. So what Paul has just taught us are all the truths about who we are in Jesus Christ, what Christ has done for our salvation. And now he's saying, in light of that, therefore, put off falsehood. Having put away falsehood. It's the same word. Having put away, we use three English words for one Greek word, but it's the same word for putting off your old self that Paul mentioned earlier in verse 22. And as we saw last week, the believer has shed this old self. That old self has been crucified with Jesus Christ. But that old way of living still clings to the believer and it needs to be shed or put away. And you kind of capture, or Paul kind of captures that struggle of the already and not yet when he tells us, well, you've already put away that old self. Since you've already put away or put off that falsehood. As if it's already been done. Well, in a sense it has, because it's been killed in Christ. But the struggle continues. As we struggle with the words that we say. Now, each time Paul mentions these commands for us in Scripture, he switches things up a little bit to keep it interesting by stating both the negative side of the command and the positive. So we have that in our passage, don't lie, speak the truth. The next, verse 26, be angry, but do not sin. So you got the positive and the negative. The negative, 6 verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up. So you get both sides, the positive and the negative of the command. And as Paul is telling us that you have put away, having put away falsehood, the assumption is that this is something that you have already done. Since you have stopped lying, now you can speak the truth. Put off all falsehood that characterized your old life of sin, that old self with its harmful and deceitful ways. But it's not enough to just give up that falsehood, that lying, because in addition to that, you are putting on truth. Speaking the truth. And the implication is that falsehood, lying, is part of your old self. That's not who you are anymore. Because you are in Christ, because you are clothed in Christ, you're not clothed in lies, you're clothed in truth. In his book, Respectable Sins, Pastor Jerry Bridges addresses the subtle sins in our lives, the sins that we often overlook. And he explains, in the months that I have been working on this book, I've often been asked in social settings, what are you working on now? When I mention the respectable or acceptable sins we tolerate, someone will always roll his or her eyes and say, oh, you mean like gossip? Apparently, this is the first of the Christian sins that come to mind. So it must be quite prevalent among us and is something we continue to put up with or tolerate in our lives. But gossip isn't the only way that we sin in our speech or in the words that we express or have this falsehood being expressed in our words. There's also slander, lying, critical speech, insult, sarcasm, ridicule. Jerry Bridges goes on to explain that any speech that tears down another person, either someone we are talking about or someone we are talking to, is sinful speech. And that's what Paul is addressing in our passage this morning when he's saying, put away all falsehood, having put away falsehood. He's addressing that sinful speech. This is something that we have put off. This should not be part of our life as Christians. We are commanded to put away this falsehood. That's what your old life of sin was like. That's not who you are anymore. As God's child, do not lie. You know it's wrong. You know that that's not how the situation went. But you retell the story to look like the hero and make everybody else look like they're silly or foolish. This falsehood in our speech takes on many forms, one of which is belittling or gossiping or tearing people down. Ask yourself, is what I am about to say going to tear down or build up the person I'm talking about? Look down at verse 29 in our passage. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Literally, this corrupting talk is rotten words. Let no rotting words come out of your mouth. Don't have a dirty mouth. It's the same word in Greek that's used for rotting fish or decaying fruit. Don't let rotten, unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. The goal is to build up the body of Christ, not break it down and destroy it with rotten and decaying words. What we're going to see this morning is that the church, the body of Christ, is built by the truthful words that we say. And in contrast to that, it is broken down by the rotten words that break down and destroy. Rotten words. Jesus tells us that out of the heart the mouth speaks. And so if these rotting words that decay and break people down are coming out of our mouths, we recognize that the source of that rot is our heart. Another falsehood to put off when it comes to our speech is the falsehood of gossip. Gossip is lying. It's forbidden by God. It's a sin against God. It's spreading unfavorable information about someone else, even if that information is true. Would I say this if this person was standing right here next to me? Gossip is when you just can't keep anything to yourself, even when it should be kept a secret. We gossip when we pass on the rumors that we're not sure are completely true, but it's just so juicy and interesting that we can't help but spread the news. Did you know? Have you heard? Just between you and me. I mean this in the best possible way, but in those moments, ask yourself, is what I'm about to say protecting this person's name, advancing their reputation, building them up? Or is it tearing them down? Am I saying this because I love the truth and I love this person? We are careful about the words that come out of our mouths because it expresses who we are in Jesus Christ. Paul is explaining what building up the body of Christ looks like in our passage, what keeping the unity of the body of Christ looks like, and this gossiping and this slandering and this breaking down does exactly the opposite. When we gossip, we're tearing the other person down in order to make ourselves feel better or look better, and that does not build up the church. What happens is that the body isn't being built up and strengthened and united and growing up in truth. Instead, it's being torn apart because I'm promoting myself above everybody else. Remember what Paul told us about bearing with one another in love, putting up with each other in love. Our walk in love, as Christ loved us, is expressed by the words that we say. In verse 31, we're told to get rid of slander, which is another form of sinful speech. Slander should be put away, there's that put away again, from you along with malice and bitterness. Slander damages a person's reputation by misrepresenting the truth, not basing judgment on the truths or the facts, assuming that they have the worst possible motives behind their actions. Slander involves exaggeration, blowing things out of proportion, all different dynamics of lying, of not speaking the truth. Instead of building each other up, we're tearing each other down. Now remember that just because we think these sins are okay and not that big of a deal, that doesn't mean that that's how God thinks about these sins. That's why it takes God's word hitting us from the outside, revealing sin for what it is. Zechariah 8 says, speak the truth to each other. Proverbs 12 verse 22 tells us that the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Colossians 3 verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. What Paul is getting at, both in Ephesians and in Colossians, is that in Christ you are no longer a liar. That's not who you are anymore. Because when you were a liar, you were connected to the father of lies, the devil. That's not, that connection, that relationship has been destroyed by the cross. Now you are connected to Christ, you are a child of Christ. Show it by the words that come out of your mouth. Building each other up and instead of tearing each other down. Now remember that in verse 25, Paul puts this negative command, do not lie, in terms of something that was part of your old self. in terms of something that you have already put away, since you have put away falsehood, having put away falsehood, we can now, secondly, speak the truth. Our second point this morning as we continue looking at our passage is, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. And the focus here is speaking the truth in love. Paul doesn't just leave us with the negative command, do not lie. He goes on to tell us the positive command, speak the truth. The imperative, speak the truth. Now, what does Paul mean when he mentions truth? What is truth? Is it speaking the truth or any truth? Or is he specifically referring to speaking the gospel truth in love? Because Paul has mentioned both of those throughout this letter. If we go back to chapter 1, verse 13, it says that in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So there, truth is referring to the word of truth, the gospel truth. If you glance over to chapter 4, verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So here you have Christ forming this body, and this body grows when we are speaking the truth. That's how we mature and how we grow in the body of Christ. Glance down to verse 21 in chapter 4. We looked at this last week. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus. So there, Jesus is described as the truth. You heard about Jesus, which is the gospel truth. You were taught in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so here, this relationship or this interconnection between the gospel truth and Jesus as the truth and us speaking the truth is all interconnected and intertwined. And that brings us to our passage. Therefore, having put away falsehood, verse 25, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. So because you have heard and believe the gospel truth about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, you now speak the truth. A reflection of who you are as a Christian in Jesus Christ, who is the truth. This is who you are. You have put on Christ, who is the truth. And your words, the truths that you speak, show who you are in Christ. Show who you have put on. You once were wearing the lies of Satan, the father of lies, and now you have put on the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul is making that very important, that vital connection between what we believe and how we live. The truth of the gospel, the truth that we live, and the truth that we proclaim. And it's that gospel of God's grace that motivates and compels true holiness that is so important for the gospel message of truth to go out. Because proclaiming God's gospel of grace without displaying its power within our own lives is going to trip that message up. The reason that we refrain from falsehood and maintain truth, even under pressure, is because that is how God grows his church. As we're speaking the truth in love, a reflection of the truth that we believe and are clothed with. Now this exhortation here, when Paul says, let each one of you speak the truth, Paul's actually quoting from the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah 8 verse 6, speak the truth to one another. And so as Paul is saying this, he's adding more weight to what he is saying. Because now he has the Old Testament supporting this statement as well. But it's more than just Paul quoting from the Old Testament to add some weight to what he's saying. There's an even deeper connection between Zechariah 8 and Ephesians 4. And here's what it is. Speak the truth to each other in Zechariah 8 is the first command that the people of God received when they had just been brought back to Jerusalem, the city of truth, after being in exile. So here God's people are brought back into Jerusalem, the city of truth, and the first command that they are given is to speak the truth. Ephesians 5, Ephesians 4 verse 25 picks up on this command as it's addressing this new community in Christ, these new believers, the church, this new self who is created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. And in this new community, this body of Christ, our neighbor is a fellow believer. And we are told to speak the truth because that's how this body grows. Through speaking the truth in love. Now before our passage this morning, commanding us to speak the truth, we saw in verse 15 that we're called to speak the truth in love. And the context there of speaking the truth in love is the context of growing and maturing, reaching the unity in the faith, attaining to the whole measure and all of the fullness of God. Instead of being babies tossed around by every new wave of doctrine, we are mature grown-ups, growing up into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ. You see that expressed in verses 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The body of Christ matures and grows as we speak the truth in love. As we speak truthfully to one another, to our neighbors, as we say what is helpful for building each other up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, verse 29. And not only are we commanded not to lie and not to speak these rotten words, but we're also told the positive, as we're seeing, to say what is helpful, to speak the truth in love, to build others up according to their needs in a way that it graces, it benefits those who listen. If it doesn't build up, if it doesn't benefit, if it's not graceful, then it's not worth saying. Instead, say only what builds others up according to their needs so that it benefits them. Ask yourself in that moment, is what I'm about to say going to leave this person built up, encouraged, in a better place? Therefore, having put away falsehood, verse 25 tells us, let each one of you speak truthfully with his neighbor. It's not only what you say, but how you say it. Speaking truth in love in order to build others up according to their needs so that it benefits those who are listening. We may have to correct each other from time to time. But the goal is not to belittle or tear down, but rather to build up in a loving and beneficial way. It's so easy for us in those moments to focus on the negative, the cynical, to criticize, to complain, or to give people the worst possible motives for what they did or didn't do. That's our natural, sinful gut reaction, to criticize, to break down. Why did they do that? I wouldn't have done it that way. They should have said this or that. And here God's word is calling us to speak truth in a way that builds up and encourages, that's helpful, beneficial, not discouraging or destroying. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We're trying to give grace to those who hear what we say. Now remember what Paul is doing in this section. First of all, he's told us, don't do this. Do not lie. Do not have that falsehood, that corrupt talk, that rotten speech come out of your mouth. Secondly, he says, do this, the positive. Speak the truth in love. And then third and finally, Paul gives us the reason why. The reason why we speak the truth in love is because we are the body of Christ. And that's what we see third and finally this morning. For we are members one of another. The reason we're speaking the truth is because we are the body of Christ. Now God's word hits us hard this morning, doesn't it? This entire week I have been very alert and aware to the things that I say, the conversations that I have. And you're probably sitting here this morning with your head hanging down right along with me because it's so hard to talk about speech, to speaking the truth in love without also realizing at the same time that I haven't done this. We can think about all of the examples from this past week, from this morning, of the ways and the times that we've messed this one up, all of the times that I've lied, or told a white lie, or broken down my friends, or my neighbors, or my families with the words that I say. And what we realize is that we, in fact, are sinners. That we have sinned and that we have fallen short of the glory of God. That we are not perfect. And that's why we need Christ so desperately. We turn to Him who is the truth. And that's when what Paul says hits home. That you have Christ. You are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. He's giving us the indicative. He's no longer giving us the imperative. This is what you need to do. He's reminding you of who you are. You are in Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. And that's why you're speaking the truth. You're the body of Christ. Now live like it. The exhortation to tell the truth, this command to just speak the truth, is supported by the fact that we are members of Christ's body, members one of another. This is who we are. And this is why we put away falsehood and we speak the truth. The foundation for our obedience, for the words that come out of our mouths, is the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. And that is so important to grasp. Yesterday I had the opportunity to visit briefly with a man who was not a Christian. He was not a believer. And he said, well, maybe someday, hopefully. But he was very intent on emphasizing how we should live and the guilt that we should feel. You know how after a conversation you think about what you should have said or the questions that you should have asked? Well, afterwards I should have asked him, what is your motivation for obedience? Why do you obey? Why do you care? Because whatever the answer is, it's works apart from salvation. If you don't have Jesus Christ, what's the motivation for obedience? Is it because of what other people think? Is it because if I'm good enough, then God might save me? Because both of those options are not biblical at all. It's because of what Christ has done for us in forgiving us for our sins and clothing us with His righteousness, making us part of His body by faith, that we then respond to this accomplished salvation by speaking the truth. Our walk in love, as Christ has loved us, is expressed in the words that we say. Speak the truth in love. And this truth, and this speaking the truth, is what is building up the body of Christ. Speaking truthfully to your neighbor. Zechariah 8 verse 16, as we mentioned earlier, after Israel had been exiled from her sins, she's coming back, and it's as if God is explaining to them once again, this is what it means to live as my people, to live in the truth. And literally, they're living in Jerusalem, which is called the city of truth. Speaking the truth to each other, because I am the truth. And Paul is using that imagery in our passage this morning, verse 25, as he's telling us what Christians should look like and sound like as they're living out their life in Christ. This is what it looks like to live as God's people, to live in the one who is truth, to speak the truth because you are part of the body of Christ who is the truth. Yes, we sin. Yes, we fall short of this perfect standard. We can remember the words that we've said, but we also remember the forgiveness that is ours in Jesus Christ alone. And the righteousness, His righteousness that we are clothed with. And that is the motivation that we have for living each and every day for Him. Our conversations, as those who are in Christ, the truth, should be wholesome and beneficial and edifying and building others up, just like we have been edified and built up by Jesus Christ. This is who you are. This is who you are in Christ. God calls us to holy, truth-filled lifestyles. This change, this putting off and this putting off on is because of who we already are in Christ. Perfectly truth-filled with the perfection of Jesus Christ. We are called to live out who we are declared to be. You are a child of God. Now live a life worthy of your calling. Walk in love as Christ loved you and gave Himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And since you are members of the body of Christ, already members, having put off falsehood, speak the truth. Our walk in love, as Christ loved us, is expressed in the words that we say. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord our God. We praise you, Lord, because we are, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Rock, our Salvation. We're so thankful that we can be part of the body of Christ, that we can be clothed with Christ's righteousness, declared to be righteous. And now it's our prayer that as we live each day in this broken world, that we will more and more reflect who we are in Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Lord, be with the words that we say, and may they reflect who we are in Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.